Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Tonight's message is entitled Coming Out of the Desert or Coming Out of the Wilderness. And this message, my hope is to define a little bit about what the wilderness is, if you've ever heard that term. I don't think I've ever preached a wilderness sermon, and I might be one of the only people in the charismatic movement, in the prayer movement, in the worship movement, in the anything movement that has never preached a wilderness message, because that is a common and a normal thing to preach on, because it's such a real part of life. And so tonight, my intention is coming out of the wilderness is to talk to us about what that looks like, to define that term, give us a little bit of language for it. And then what we're going to do is we're just going to look at a bunch of Bible verses that describe what life looks and feels like for those that are coming up out of a wilderness season. And so tonight's message, coming out of the wilderness. First, when I say that, what do I mean? Well, when we're talking about the wilderness in the most specific and strict sense, the wilderness is talking about the desert. And so many times you'll see in the scripture the Lord using a physical desert, an actual wilderness, a barren land, a non-citied area, a non-populated area, an area without a lot of water, an area that's just rough and barren and dry, using those places to put his people from time to time in order to establish them and to set them in a different mode and really to prepare them for what is coming. It's just so often that the Lord will use a physical desert or a physical wilderness to accomplish that purpose that in many swirls in Christianity, and this isn't a new thing, this is an old idea, in many swirls in Christianity, people refer to the concept of, you know, I'm in a hard season, you know, the Lord's really hemmed me in. I've been in a wilderness. I've been in the desert. You'll hear that term a lot. And it's a term that what they are not telling you, most likely, is that they became a Saharan nomad and have gone out and have been a monk in the desert for the past, you know, weeks, months, of years of their life. They're describing this term, this concept from the Word of being taken into a barren place in order that the Lord might instruct and strengthen and prepare those people that he takes into the desert for that next season. And so when you hear that term, and certainly how we're using it, is talking about a season of intense difficulty. But it's a season. Life isn't intended to be one season long. There are four seasons that the Lord gave to the earth. And those four seasons each serve a different purpose. And you can always count on this. Whatever season you're in, it will change. God established the seasons in the earth. Summer, fall, spring, and winter. He established seasons in the earth to accomplish different things for the earth. Seasons of growth. Seasons of maturing. Seasons of difficulty. Seasons of pruning. Seasons of rest. All of those different things, and the weather patterns and the way that the climate reacts, the way that the earth responds to those different seasons. Seasons are from God. They are God's invention. And so when we talk about wilderness seasons, one thing we need to remember, and especially when you're in the midst of one, is it will not last forever. That's impossible. Seasons come and seasons go. And then the next one comes. And that's it's really an important thing to remember when you're in the difficult season, but it's also important to remember when you're in a good season, because sometimes you get snuck up on. You're in the middle of a good season, things are going good, things look like they're all working, and then all of a sudden they stop working. And you get surprised as though something odd had occurred. Nothing odd has occurred. You've moved from one season into the next, and the way that the Lord governs the planet is through seasons changing. It's also the way that he governs believers in order to mature us, to take us from glory to glory. We're familiar with that passage, going from glory to glory. The way the Lord does that is he uses seasons and even the abrupt shift in spiritual climate to accomplish in us the glory. It would not be healthy. It would not be productive. It would not even be the way of the Lord to leave believers in the same season for their whole life. They would never mature. The way that trees mature is having to go through the winter. And then in spring, the nutrients and everything hits them, and then you just start to burst, and they experience a great growth season. When you see the growth rings on a tree, all of that happened in spring. It happened in a very short period of time. It didn't happen in winter, but it represents a whole year's worth. So if you really think about it, the growth seasons that's kind of fun and joyful for a tree, it's a fourth of their existence. And the rest of the time is serving a different purpose. And that's the way that the Lord works. And it may, I don't know that the Lord has any sort of direct equivalent to you and me and a tree, but I think it's probably safe to think in the 25% range. You know, something like that is the fun growth, you know, exciting, you know, seasons. Well, the wilderness is intended to accomplish specific purposes in us. If we can bring up Deuteronomy 8:2 up on the screen. This verse is awesome. This is describing the Lord's purpose in the wilderness, the purpose for the wilderness season. Look at this. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years. Here's the purpose. Why were we in the wilderness? What was the purpose of being in the wilderness? To humble you, to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. This isn't the only purpose, but I think it's the broad stroke purpose of the wilderness seasons. It's to test you. It's to humble you. It's to see what's really in your heart. Is obedience in your heart or is comfort in your heart? It's okay. It's normal. It's human for comfort to be in our flesh. Our flesh to want comfort. We just can't be ruled by our flesh. It's okay. It's normal. God created us that way. I like comfort. I prefer air conditioning as opposed to 107 degree temperature. That's okay. But we can't make our decisions when they are in contrast to the purposes of God, when our comfort is in contrast to the purpose of God. We cannot make our decisions according to comfort. And wilderness seasons test your heart to see if obedience is in your heart or if comfort is in your heart. And those seasons of difficulty, of pruning, the wilderness times, the things that come out of your mouth, the things that you either compromise or hold the line on, the areas of obeying God or bailing out for the sake of comfort, you would never know, and the Lord would never have documented proof of what was in your heart had you not been put through one of those wilderness seasons to see what was in there. We see often in the scriptures God's people responding poorly to the wilderness. And then we see many times, many occasions of God's people, individuals mostly, it'll tell the stories of individuals, of how they weathered the wilderness and how they came through with flying colors and what the Lord's purpose was in that time. This verse has a vast measure of setting us on the right path if we'll learn the lessons. That God led you into the wilderness, not man, not the devil, not random circumstances, God. God led you into the desert season. God did it. And he did it to humble you. I think about that humbling. I think about this past season. I know I've got a long way to go, but I feel very humbled by the Lord through this past season because the things that I was used to working weren't working. The things, the strength in my own flesh that I was accustomed to wasn't so strong anymore. Things just weren't working, and I felt so humbled. I felt so humbled by the Lord in this. But that's what happens. You know, you think about a nation, just, you know, use the example of you know, the nation, you know, of Israel, and the seasons where the Lord would bring testing and difficulty, they weren't able to accomplish the things in the desert that they were able to accomplish when they had everything together and posh and things were taken care of. In our own lives, when the Lord brings us into the desert, it is intended to destroy some of us. I don't mean individuals, I mean parts of us. It's intended. It's not an accidental byproduct. It's the point. God goes, oh, I love you so much, you've got some stuff that really needs to be destroyed. I love you too much to leave all that extra clutter on you, because a lot of that clutter is connected to your own pride. A lot of that clutter is connected to your own self-reliance. A lot of that clutter, you call this, but I call it lack of faith. A lot of that clutter, you call this, but I actually call it waywardness. You call it this, but I call it sin. The Lord desires to destroy everything that hinders love. Everything that gets in the way of his purposes. Everything that's connected to us that we picked up along the way that he doesn't want in our hands. You just think about somebody going into battle, and the Lord's plan is for them to be a fit soldier ready to go into battle. And along the way, they've just started picking up stuff that has nothing to do with warfare. They've got a giant duffel bag filled with bubble gum. They just love bubble gum. They're a bubble gum chewing fool. They have picked up a duffel bag full of bubble gum, and they're like, oh, I love gum. I got to take this with me everywhere I go. They're going into battle, and they got a giant 30-pound bag of bubble gum, and they're going into battle. Next, they're walking, and they see this little bench. It's a little wooden bench. Like, oh, that will go perfect in my front yard. I love that wooden bench. They pick up a wooden bench, and now they're carrying a wooden bench and a bag of bubble gum. And then they keep walking, and then they see this really cool purple hat. It's like purple, and it's like got all these giant tassels, and it weighs about like 30 pounds, and it weighs their head down. It's really cool looking, though, and they just know as soon as I get home, I'm going to be able to take all these pictures with all my friends. They're going to love this really cool, colorful purple hat that I found. It's got like a little picture of Barney on there. It's just this epic hat. And now they got this 30-pound hat of Barney on their head, a 30-pound bubblegum bag, and a 30-pound little stool or bench that they're taking home. And God's like, what are you doing? Like, well, with all this freedom that you gave me, I decided I'd pick up some bubblegum. You know, I mean, I found the really cool hat, and the park bench will look perfect in my front yard. Well, it's like, I'm taking you into battle. You just need bubblegum for battle. And the only thing you're going to do with that park bench is swap somebody over the head with it. And you better take off that hat. It's blinding you. You can't see 2 feet in front of you because you got the Barney tassels waving in your face. You've picked up clutter along the way, and it's very unuseful. No, God, I love my Barney hat, bubble gum, and park bench. And the Lord says, well, then I'll help you realize you need to put those things down. I'll take you into such difficulty, your hands won't be able to hold the bubble gum bag. I'll take you into such difficulty, the splinters that you're getting from holding over and over that park bench, you will want to release the park bench. And I will cause you to fall on your face so many times because of the Barney tassels that you will realize you do not need that hat. And then I can use you and I can send you into your purposes. It's interesting what the Lord does in the seasons of testing, of difficulty, of a pruning of wilderness. They're for our good. They are, however, to humble us. It is not a byproduct. It's an intention. The wilderness seasons are God's prescription to humble humans. And before we would get down on ourselves and go, well, man, I just wish I could, you know, be perfect and never make any mistakes and never pick up anything I shouldn't have. You're human. You're going to pick up stuff again. And the stuff we pick up really isn't as silly as bubblegum bags and Barney hats. The stuff that we pick up along the way is self-reliance, pride, self-sufficiency. We learn certain patterns and ideas and ways, and we begin to lean into those things instead of into God. We begin to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. We begin to lean on, on human structures and institutions and sometimes even people that the Lord doesn't want us to. And unfortunately, even if we learn the lessons of not picking up those three or four things, there are a whole slew of other things that we have the opportunity to pick up, and more than likely in the journeys of life, we will. And the Lord wants to humble us and test us and prepare us. The Lord desires to use the seasons to strengthen his people. The word that Marvin gave to the prayer room a couple of weeks ago, I don't know how many weeks it was now, maybe four. The word that he gave was, in the midst of the struggle, the Lord is actually strengthening and advancing you. You just can't see it. Kind of like the person that's going into battle can't see how putting the bubble gum down is going to help them. But when they get into battle, they sure are glad that they're a little bit more nimble and quick and agile than having to carry around a duffel bag of 40 pounds of bubble gum. I mean, the things that the Lord has been doing behind the scenes are incredible, that are being forged in us so that the Lord can take us into what's next. Well, there's a fun thing about the wilderness. There's a fun reality, and it's a universal truth about the wilderness. And we'll look at a bunch of examples to show us in the Word to strengthen us. But it's a universal truth about the wilderness. Promotion always follows the wilderness. Promotion can look a lot of different ways. Promotion can show up in a lot of different avenues and roads and manifest in our lives. But promotion is part of the way that the Lord heals the weighty heart that was weighed down under the pain and the difficulty in the desert. You know, the Lord is a good, good Father. It's who he is. And the way that he operates is he looks at his children and he sees the pain in the heart and he recognizes something very simple that you and I understand. And he knows far better. When extreme difficulty comes, the heart grows weary, the soul starts to like crack. You just feel like you're so fragile you're about to completely fall apart. The Lord can't take you from wilderness to normal and you survive. It won't work. You can't go from totally horrible to normal. Because you walk that normal out, you're so fragile still from the wilderness. You walk that normal out, you'll die. Because you were so humbled, tested, pruned, refined, and beat down in the wilderness, you can't survive at normal. Now, just before the wilderness season, you were probably very happy about normal. Normal's not so bad. Normal's not so bad. Even a little bad ain't so bad. I mean, we've all experienced a little bad. We've all experienced normal. Recently, we've all experienced the desert. Three seasons. There's one left. Coming up out of the wilderness. And when you do, promotion comes, because if you go from wilderness to normal, you're so fragile, you'll crack and you'll die. So the Lord doesn't do it that way. He brings you up out of the wilderness into promotion. You get more. You wind up stronger. You wind up with injections from the Lord that wind up washing away the season of wilderness. You wind up so filled with something helpful that you're able to overcome and press on towards the things that the Lord wants for you. You could not be an overcomer and a presser oner if you went from wilderness to normal. You would just be a broken, fragile creature for the rest of your livelong days. But remember, the four seasons, what comes after winter? spring on purpose. On purpose, spring comes after winter. Because it's in spring that the tree gets to go, yeah! And the leaves start to bud. And the flowers start to bloom. And the smells and the fragrances. And the tree starts to grow. But man, was it tough in the winter. Just a minute ago. You know, trees look dead in winter. It shocks me every year. I'm like, oh, they've all died. There's no more trees left on planet Earth. God, you killed them all in this winter. This winter was so harsh. And the Lord just shakes his head. He's like, I've been doing this a long time. Winter comes first, and then spring. And there is no spring without winter. And in winter, everything looks dead. And you think that winter lasted just 1 week too long. Surely nothing will come back. And you know what happens? Every single spring, new life, growth, strengthening. Now, one thing that I don't know is how promotion will look for you. But I can tell you that promotion has everything to do with the specific struggles and trials you experienced in your wilderness. Because again, going from wilderness to normal, you're dead. You're just, it's a time clock. You're going to completely run out in just a little while if you go from wilderness to normal. You can't live that way. You'll die. But the reason, or the way that your wilderness looked, the Lord has to minister to those aches and hurts. When you go from wilderness to the season of promotion, you can count on that promotion having a lot to do with the very issues that were pruned and that were so stinking difficult in the wilderness. Whatever those issues were, the promotion is related to those things. Because the purpose of the Lord is to not just cause you to go from wilderness to normal, because then you're just a time clock and you're going to run out and you're going to be done. The Lord desires for you to press on into the things of God, and you can't do that as a broken, wounded, fragile vessel. You have to experience His strength. You imagine the tree that comes out of the winter and doesn't get to experience any of the new growth, doesn't get to experience any of the budding, watching all the trees around it turn green, and this one just keeps getting more fragile, more fragile, more fragile. By the time summer comes, that tree would just, all the branches break off and fall apart. The Lord is going to minister to the areas of hurt that the season of testing and wilderness were all about. The Lord's purposes are perfect and sure. He uses the season of the wilderness to humble you. But you know what my Bible says about those that are humbled? My Bible says God exalts the humble, but He opposes the proud. Well, I've got good news for you. If in the wilderness you were humbled, you now qualify for the positive side of that verse. Because if you became humble, if you were humbled by those circumstances, you're still chasing Jesus, you have been qualified as the humble. And if you have become the humble, the Word of God says He will exalt you. Coming up out of the wilderness is about exalting you. The Lord desires to grow, mature, strengthen, and exalt the humble. Not even for the humble's sake, but for the glory of God. What a beautiful gift it is that God would get to look down on His people, watch them go through difficulty and not give up on Him, enter into a measure of humility that they did not know in the previous seasons of their life, and now the Lord says, oh, you're humble now, I long to exalt you. And when I exalt you, now you will be a vessel far more suited to do far more for me than you were before all of this started. And in the midst of that, you'll carry a measure of humility you didn't have before. I'll be able to use you more. And you will point to me instead of pointing to yourself. And then the Lord gets the greatest amount of glory and still gets the kingdom of God built. We have such a tendency to make it all about us. But if the Lord humbles us, then we'll use the same tools that we were going to use about us. We'll use those same tools, gifts, stories, revelations, promotions. We'll use those same things for him in a far more submitted way. And we'll be far more thankful than if we, in our own strength, had somehow acquired those things on our own. When you come out of wilderness, there is promotion coming. Just like when you come out of winter, there is spring. It's the purposes of the Lord to strengthen and to govern the kingdom of God in the earth. It's how he uses the seasons. Well, what I want to do now is just give you a bunch of Bible verses that say it. I mean, I just got done saying it, but it's to me, it's a whole lot more helpful that your Bible says it. So I just want to give you a bunch of verses and let you go and, you know, read the stories later. I won't have time to develop all the stories. I'm going to give you like 10 of them. So you just go look at them later. With the reality of Abraham, I didn't put verses up on this one. I didn't on all of them because we just don't have time. But with Abraham, Abraham left his country, left his comfort, left everything that he knew and that he had. And the Lord brought him through a season of wandering. And as a result of coming out of that season of wandering, his promotion was that he was given a child from his barren wife, and he grew to be the father of all nations. He came out of the desert, he came out of his wilderness season, and though he was old and his wife was old, the Lord granted him the impossible miracle of a son from an old and had been always barren woman. There's one thing to be, you know, past the age of childbearing and then somehow miraculously have a baby because it was your sixth. But it's another thing to be past the age of childbearing and at no point during that process were you able to conceive. And now you have the miracle baby that winds up becoming the father of all the nations. I mean, of many nations. This is Abraham winds up becoming the father of many nations, and even the gospel winds up coming through the lineage of Abraham, and this is related to his obedience. Notice, remember that Deuteronomy verse? I wanted to test your obedience to me. That's what the desert was about. That's what the wilderness was about. I wanted to test your obedience, and Abraham was obedient, and the Lord blessed him and promoted him greatly. What about Isaac? Put up that verse in Genesis 26. I just gave you a little snippet of Isaac's life. Isaac goes through a very difficult season after much opposition. He just faced a bunch of opposition. You can go read Genesis 26 and 25 on your own if you want to. But after a season of much difficulty, if you will, the wilderness, Abimelech said to Isaac, "Move away from us. You have become too powerful for us." Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, and he discovered a well of fresh water. And the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in the land. And the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am with you. I will bless you, and I will increase the number of your descendants." Isaac, in a season of great difficulty, of a wilderness, of trial and testing, he comes out of this season. And one of the rulers of the land looks at him and he says, "You have the favor of God on you." You just imagine Isaac going, "I have the favor of God on me. I feel pretty beat up right now. This season hasn't really been so awesome. No, you become too powerful for us. You're growing and you're flourishing." He says, "Move away from us." And when he does, in that season of the release, everything starts to boom and flourish in his life. And even God comes to him with that word of the Lord moment and says, "I will bless you and I will continue to increase you." Isaac experiencing this great increase. The waters, if that doesn't make a lot of sense to you, why wells are so important, it wasn't like building a well today. Digging a well, pretty darn easy. A few thousand dollars and you're there. You want to dig a well back in the day, It's going to take you a long time and a lot of digging power. And not only that, you dig, and there's no guarantee there's even any water down there. He had access to all these wells, meaning he had access to be able to feed all the flocks, to be able to keep them all healthy, to be able to have running water, if you will. I mean, that was a really big deal back in that time frame, especially in that land. He's got access to all these wells, and it says specifically, discovered a well of fresh water in that season. That well of fresh water. One of Isaac's promotions was fresh water in that hour. He experienced financial abundance and prosperity as he came up out of his wilderness season. What about Joseph after the dungeon years? You guys know the Bible verse, but you got to think about this. I mean, you're talking about desert season. Though he did nothing wrong, you guys know the story. Joseph was put in a dungeon. He was put in prison. And he was there for quite some time. You just imagine him being in the prison going, clearly you've forgotten about me, God. And God goes, no, I've got the date on my calendar. You're going to get out. It's going to be awesome. You're going to be a billionaire here in just a few minutes. No, God, you've forgotten about me. No, I've not forgotten. I intended every one of these horrible days of your life. It was very important to me. I put you in the dungeon. And I have circled the date on the calendar where you'll become a billionaire. And that's really coming. But I'm not going to let you sidestep one of those terrible, torturous days. It's very important to your future. And so after a terrible, torturous season where he was allowed to feel forgotten, allowed to feel like the promises of God were not real or true, out of that season, Genesis 41:39 happens, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning as wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace. All my people are submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. Who is this guy? Oh, he was the dude that was in the dungeon 15 minutes ago. A prisoner? You're putting a prisoner in charge of everything, and you're telling him in front of all the officials, only with regard to the fact that I am the king am I greater than you. Everyone will do everything you say. You will have everything, the best of the land. And 15 minutes before, he was a prisoner with no hope. The Lord brought him out of a desert season and gave him favor, authority, prosperity. I don't know what the promotion looks like for each of you. You have to search that out. What I can tell you is when you come out of a desert, there is promotion waiting for you because it's the purpose of the Lord in order to be able to help you endure, strengthen, and press on into the greater things that the Lord has. Moses, 40 years before delivering Israel. We all know the story of Moses. But you gotta recognize how long 40 years is. How long has your desert season been? Well, whatever it is, it ain't been 40 years. 40 years. Moses knows at least some measure of who he is. Moses understands that he wasn't an Egyptian. He knows he was a Hebrew, that he was raised in the palace of Pharaoh. He knows all this. He knows there are prophecies in the Hebrew scriptures about there being a deliverer or about God bringing deliverance. And he's got this question in his heart, I wonder what part I might play in that. And he takes a step to try to help his fellow Hebrews and winds up on the run in the desert, in the wilderness, the real one, for 40 years, completely removed from what he thinks is his destiny. 40 years, his entire existence is meh. He's chasing sheep. Not like we call, you know, people sheep and like they need help and tenderness. No, real sheep that poop on him. They run away. And every day he goes, oh, little sheepy, you gotta stop running away. I'm gonna break your legs because you run away about every week and I have to spend half of my time looking for you because you're not even my sheep. You're my father-in-law's sheep. He's out tending another man's sheep completely removed from anything that looks like anything having to do with the assignment that he knows he's supposed to be a part of for 40 years. Whatever your struggle, you've not touched Moses' struggle. And God was the one that put him in the wilderness for 40 years. Not 40 days, not 40 weeks. 40 years is so unthinkable. And God did it to that man so we'd have the testimony in the Bible so that all of us could look at our 40 days or 40 weeks or 40 whatevers and go, well, at least I'm not Mo. Poor dude. Poor dude. He's a man like you and me. He was a human. And he had to struggle with the fact that I thought God was real. I thought I was supposed to do stuff for God. I thought I was going to, you know, do this and be a part of this. I'm out in the desert and the days and the years and the decades keep unfolding. But you know why we know Moses' name? Because there's been nobody in the Bible that did crazier miracles than Moses. Moses came out of his season of wilderness and he was given great promotion, signs, wonders, testimony, deliverance. The deliverer of Israel out of Egypt by the hand of God. Careful, because maybe the difficulty of your desert season has more to do with your destiny. And maybe God has to beat you up a little bit for you to be useful for his purposes. Moses had to get beat up pretty good for a pretty long time in order for God to be able to use him according to his purposes. What about Israel's 40 years before entering the promised land? Israel is out in the desert. Moses gets them out. They have a really sweet season of escape from Egypt. And then 40 years, another 40 years. You just got to imagine Moses is like, do I have to count everything in 40-year increments? This is getting tough. I mean, how many 40 years is this do I get? 40 years, they're wandering around in the desert in their wilderness season. And the Lord is using the desert. He's using the season. You guys remember that Deuteronomy verse we read earlier? It's actually about this one. I mean, with perfect specificity. It's like aimed at this particular reality. They're coming up out of the desert, out of the wilderness. They're 40 years, and God says, I used those 40 years to test you, to humble you, to see what was in your heart. And now that the 40 years are over, I'm going to give you massive promotion. And that promotion for Israel looked like military victory. It looked like a place of their own to call home. It looked like freedom and prosperity. There was an incredible move of God that took place when Israel came up out of their desert season. David and his desert wanderings. If you guys aren't familiar with the story of David as it pertains to his wilderness trial, you need to go familiarize yourself with that storyline. It is incredibly encouraging and will give you some stabilizing grace in difficult times. David has been told, you're going to be the king of Israel, from the most powerful prophet that the land had ever known. Samuel anoints him and says, you're going to be the king of Israel. Knowing that he's going to be the king of Israel, God sets up circumstances to have David be a fugitive from King Saul, to be hiding in caves. He's supposed to be the king. Not only that, the king that's currently after him is a terrible, terrible man, a terrible leader. Like, God, why won't you just get rid of the bad guy and let me be the good guy? Let me be the good king. You already told me I was supposed to be the good king. Why are you letting the bad king be really, really mean to me? He's trying to kill me often. I don't live in a house. I'm supposed to be the king of Israel. I don't live in a house. I live in a cave. Oh, yeah, and not just one. Because I'm on the run because as soon as he finds out that I live in that cave, I have to leave and find another cave. I'm constantly on the run for my life. I have none of the pleasures of being able to settle down. I am in a wilderness season, and I'm supposed to be the king of Israel. What are you doing, oh God? So many of the Psalms that we read that are, you know, God saying, why have you forsaken me? Oh God, help me. God, deliver me. Show me your mercy. It's during the season of life that David, that nothing in David's world makes any sense to David. He says, I love you. I'm not going to give up on your promises. I'm not going to give up on who you say I am. But this is horrible. This season of the desert is awful. Oh, but do you know the season of desert ended for King David and the season of promotion came just like the winter ends and spring follows. And so David's promotion looked like authority, favor, power, unlimited finances, and the ability to build God 24/7 prayer with live singers, musicians, and worship leaders for the first time in human history. David was able to do something that the earth had never seen before. Live worship 24/7 before the King of Glory. David went through a wilderness season, and at the end of it, he was given promotion, and that promotion looked a very sweet and special way. And the Lord had purposes all along for the wilderness. See, the wilderness won't kill you unless you just decide it will. The wilderness has zero potential to kill you apart from you giving up. You won't die in the wilderness unless you decide, I'm ready to die now. The wilderness will not kill you because the wilderness's intention was never to kill you. It was to almost kill you, but never to kill you. It was never to get you to quit. The wilderness was never intended to completely destroy you so that you would give up on God. It was never intended to physically kill you so that you checked out and now you're showing up before the pearly gates and you go, hey, God, don't really know what that wilderness was all about. It just killed me and got me here faster. That won't happen. The purpose of the wilderness is to prepare you for the promotion. I mean, we have this so backwards because we don't like pain. And wilderness is painful. So when we experience pain, our tendency is to think, I will surely die. This pain will kill me. This pain will not kill you. That's impossible. It's God who's doing it, and the intention is not to kill you. If God wanted you dead, friends, Ananias and Sapphira, if God wanted you dead, he could kill you. He doesn't want you dead. He wants you almost dead so that he can resurrect you and pour out his grace and his favor and his strength on you. The wilderness can't take your life because it's God doing it and it's redemptive in purpose, not punitive. He's not trying to punish you. He's trying to prepare you. You can't die in wilderness unless you just give up, quit on God, and go do your own thing. You will have strength to get through. It's fine for you to feel like you won't, but you will, because the purpose of the season is to prepare you, and it's God doing it. You will not die. You will not sacrifice the promises of God. You will not find yourself off course, even if 40 years of sheeping in the desert, like Moses. He was right where God wanted him when God decided it was time. God didn't have to go looking for Moses. He knew right where he was. And he appears in a bush. Hey, Moses, come over here. God? God, is that you? It's been so long. Yeah, Moses. I've actually been waiting for you. I've been waiting for this moment so I can bring you up out of your wilderness season and give you the craziest promotion you can possibly imagine. Well, I thought I was just going to die in another few years out here with the sheep. Impossible, Moses. Impossible. This wilderness wasn't, whatever you think it wasn't that. It was me preparing you to be a humble deliverer of Israel. And I needed someone who thought they were nothing. And you thought you were something because you grew up in Pharaoh's household, didn't you? You thought you were something. I needed you to think you were nothing so that I could use you and make you something, oh, to make you something. But I needed you to be humbled And so I brought you through a great wilderness. And now you'll be the most humble man that's ever lived. And I'll use you to do the craziest thing that any man has ever done. And that's how God does it. You can't die in the wilderness. It's impossible unless you give up. You always have that option. You can just give up. You can buckle on the promises of God. You can buckle on God altogether and just go run and be a heathen. But if you don't do those things, if you just refuse to quit, you will get through and you will be promoted. Because that's how this thing works. Job, out of his season of testing, Job 42, verse 12. You guys know the story of Job. It's ugly. It's double ugly, tough, craziest example that we can have. You just want to make Job a parable, but it's not. It's a human. He's a real dude who you'll meet one day. And you just shake your head. You go, Job, man. He'll smile so big. Because we so often remember Job because of his testing. We so often remember Job because of his wilderness. We so often think, oh, man, poor Job. Oh, man, that guy had it so hard. That dude didn't have it hard at all at the end. Because it says at the end, the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. Translate, he was super rich. The Lord didn't bring him out of his broken wilderness into normal. He gave him stupid promotion. He was wealthy before. This is unprecedented in his day. This makes him one of the wealthiest men of his whole time. I mean, 2 years after the promotion, he's got all his stuff. You ask him, hey, how are you doing today? I'm just so sad because my life's terrible. What a sad, sad life. Whatever. He goes, you want to just like kill a bunch of animals and eat them? I'm so rich. I got so many animals. In fact, let's just cut a bunch of them up and make some teepees. And I got so many animals. I got so much going on. I'm so rich. Let's sell a bunch of them and we'll make a theme park. Be the first theme park in the ancient world, Job Land. It's going to be awesome. 2 years after Job's trial, his heart is so glad and happy. His circumstances are so radically different. He doesn't even hardly remember the trial because that's what promotion does. But in the middle of it, you hear the lines of Job and you just think, this is a dying man. This is a terrible, terrible reality. And it was. For one season, a wilderness, that the Lord had the date on his calendar circled, even before the first bad thing happened in Job's life. I'm going to bless the latter part of your life more than the former, and you're going to have 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 donkeys. I'm going to bless you so much. And I'm going to use you, Job, as the example of suffering for all my people forever. And so I promise you, I'll make it worth your while, but you are going to have to suffer for a little while, a season, a wilderness. But after wilderness comes promotion, and the promotion has to affect the cracking of the vessel in the desert. It has to, or you'll die, and God is unjust. And you will not die, and God is not unjust. He will redeem. He will strengthen. He will give grace. Many other examples we don't have time to get into. I just want to leave you with this. I want you to consider what this last season has been about. Maybe it's over right now. Maybe there's weeks, months, years. I don't know. I sense things are shifting, but my sensing isn't worth anything for you. Just ask the Lord, what has this season of great wilderness been about? What is the current wilderness? What is the current wilderness about in your life? And I want to encourage you to allow your faith to be stirred up one more time. To believe the Bible and not your circumstances. To believe the Bible and not your emotions. To believe your Bible and not your experiences of disappointment. To believe your Bible. Philippians 3, 13 through 14 says this. Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me. God has purposes in your life, and you need to forget what is behind, and you need to strain onward towards the prize, towards the purpose, towards the things, towards the promotion that the Lord had in mind this whole time. It was on his calendar before the difficulty started. It was on his calendar. You will not die in the wilderness unless you just decide to give up. You will not die because the wilderness was never intended to kill you, just almost kill you. So the closer you get to dead, the closer you are to coming out of your wilderness. Because the Lord wanted you almost dead so he could resurrect and use you for his purposes. But you've got to forget what's been behind and press on towards the prize. You got to pray, and you got to ask him how to position yourself for what he wants done in this next season. Lord, what do I do? How do I posture my heart, my time, my energy, my affections? How do I posture myself as I come up out of the wilderness? How do I receive the promotion? What do I do to be in agreement with you in the days, weeks, months, or years that remain in this wilderness? What do I do to continue to believe for what's coming? Because the Lord uses the wilderness, really, really, for the moment that you're coming up out of the wilderness with such joy and grace, and you are leaning and limping. You are a hot mess coming out of that wilderness, but your hot mess is dragging your foot with a smile. It's the biggest smile you can muster, and it's pretty weak looking, but it's so big. I mean, inside it feels like it's a million miles wide. Just outside it looks like a 3/4 frown, and it's that smile just for the moment. The whole wilderness is for that moment that you come up out of it into what's next, into promotion, that you could press on towards the prize for which God has called you, the purposes that he has. And a weak, weak person in the midst of their wilderness can't take ground for the Lord. And not every season are you supposed to be taking ground. Some seasons you're supposed to be coming very weak so that in the next season you'll have the strength and the power as you come up out of that wilderness, anointed of the Lord, promoted by God to accomplish all that he has in his heart for you. So I want to encourage you in this hour, consider what this season has been about. Maybe it's not over. Allow your faith to be stirred up again and set yourself towards the goal. God's goal was not for you to die in the wilderness. He has purposes for you that are related to the promotion that's coming. He wants to give you those promotional pieces so that you can press on to accomplish all the purposes. And you can't do that until you come up out of the wilderness. What has the wilderness been about? Set your heart to posture yourself and to pray and to believe and stir up that faith once again to believe for the things that he wants to do, because he will not let you die in that wilderness unless you just decide to give up. But if you just won't quit, no matter how ugly, hard, difficult, beat up, tried, tested you are, if you just won't quit, there is incredible promotion, even bigger promotion than the difficulties of the wilderness came against you. Even greater measure of up coming from the down that you went.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.